Well, I'm excited about this morning. I want to tell you, the last few weekends, as I've started to think through what to share in this context, specifically about this Battle Line series, it's interesting how every week I kind of start with a concept in mind, and then that adapts, that the Lord just kind of works in a unique way over the course of the preparation period of that. And so I'm always excited about that, and I'm excited about what I get a chance to share with you today, because I think there's some real practical stuff for us. I want to start, though. I just felt like it was kind of appropriate this morning for us to start with this. And so if you're a regular part of the tribe here, hang with me. But I want to talk just a minute to those of you who maybe have been here in the 3 to 4 months or less window, because one of the conversations and one of the things that I think has become readily apparent to me is just a recognition that, first of all, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for taking an opportunity and taking a risk on a new place. I know anytime you come into a new place, particularly a new church, it can feel a little bit awkward about how do I on-ramp here? Because there's this sense that there's a lot of moving traffic in a certain direction, and maybe you feel like you kind of come into even a church our size that's not that large. And I can imagine the perceived difficulty of trying to figure out how to kind of merge into something that's been going for a while and to figure that out. So I just want to say thank you for taking that risk. I want to say thank you for allowing me to have an opportunity to speak into your life. I never take for granted that there's a million places you could be and a million things you could be doing and a million voices that you could be listening to on any given moment, particularly on Sunday morning. And the other thing that I want to say is, and this is from the bottom of my heart, a few things I hope always come through from me and from Catalyst is, number one, we care about you and that you matter here and that there's a place for you here. And I really do look forward to getting to know you. I know that sometimes on Sunday mornings it can be come and go and in and out pretty quickly. But I really do look forward to the opportunity to get to know you and to speak into your life as you allow and whatever the case may be. But I just want you to know that we want this to be your tribe. If you're here this morning and you're still trying to figure this out and you're thinking, is there a place from here? Do I matter here? We want this to be your tribe. This is not our thing and it is not exclusive. This is a place that we started from the very beginning so that people, wherever they may be coming from, whatever their journey and whatever their experience with God is, that there's a place of safety and security and a place to grow here. And so my hope is that you feel that. And I want you to know more than anything that I care about you. And we may not even know each other, and that may seem awkward for a total stranger to say, I care about you. But from the bottom of my heart, I get up on Sunday mornings, and I get up every day of the week because I care about you, even if I don't know you face-to-face and name by name. And my hope is that as we spend some time together and we track together, that there will be an opportunity that we can get to know each other and that you'll feel a way of kind of merging on here, because there is a place to belong here and there's a place to grow here. And it's not that we want something from you, but we want something for you and we want to track with you. And so I hope that's a great place to begin our conversation today. I also have been thinking about the fact that for some of us, you know, this series has kind of started at maybe a high level place. And if you have been with us the last few weeks, we've talked about some places that are generalities, some places that are hopefully specific to everyone, some battle lines that we all face. The passage in the video talks about the passage we launched with, this idea of our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but there really is a supernatural battle that many of us are facing, and it's a spiritual battle. And so the first week we talked about what I would say is kind of the first battle line that most of us experience is the battle in our mind, and we talked about that. Last week we talked about what I think is probably the most intense place of battle. And it's the battle through our pain and how God doesn't leave us or abandon us in our pain, but wants to walk with us through our pain and wants us to help grow closer to Him in that. But then I kind of begin to think about, okay, I just started asking myself specifically this week, what are the very practical, very personal, very almost like everyday places where I feel like there's spiritual battle that I face? And so I want to talk about a few of those over these next few weeks of just some very specific, what I think are very practical areas of spiritual battle that all of us can kind of face. But I want to dive deeper than just kind of the superficial. We could throw out a huge list of, well, my marriage and my money and I want to dive a little deeper in that, because I almost always think that those are kind of surface issues but there's a deeper level of spiritual battle. And this week I want to specifically talk about one of those. Because if the battle for my mind is the first line of defense, and if the battle in my pain and through my pain is perhaps the most intense, the most battle in my mind is consistently fought and in my life through what I would call my tethers. Now, tethers is a real weird word. I mean, most of us, if we have any experience with tether, it's probably tether ball, and it was that, you know, that violent ball that flew around, and, you know, you're afraid it's going to get, you know, hammered every time you, you know, play. I don't know. Maybe that was just me. Maybe I was not really all that good at tether ball, and so I was always scared of the tether ball. But I started thinking about this idea of my tethers. And what I mean by that are things that I am tied to. Things that I'm tied to. I'm either tied to by choice or maybe no longer by choice. Maybe I was tied to them by a choice that I made in the past or a choice that I'm currently making. But what are the things that I'm tied to? And these tethers are things that honestly, they either allow me to fly with purpose or they're holding me back. They're holding me to the ground. This is the season. And I live far enough down 69 there in Summer Lake where on a good day, you can see the Conner Prairie Balloon. And the Conner Prairie Balloon is something that I've actually wanted to do for a long time. We've lived here 7 or 8 years. I don't know why I don't just go over and do it, except for the fact that there's one little reason, and it's that I'm utterly terrified of heights. And so that's the only little thing that's holding me back from getting in that balloon of death. But I've always wanted to take a hot air balloon ride. I'm scared of heights, and so that kind of creates a major problem. But one of the things about the Conner Prairie Balloon that I find fascinating is it's, you know, you can't fly away because it's tethered to the ground. I mean, you go up and then you go down, and so those tethers are really kind of important. The whole idea of the flight with tethers is meant to be you still get the experience of a lift, but you also get it in the context of the control that keeps you from, you know, flying away. And one of the things that this example, this illustration kind of reminded me of is there are a lot of things in my life that I am tethered to. And what I found is that healthy tethers, not unlike the Conner Prairie Balloon, healthy tethers actually give a lift to our spirit. When we're tied into the right things, when we're connected well and we're grounded well to things that actually lift our spirit, they can be a huge help to us. And they can actually affirm God's presence and His strength and His guidance in our life. But when we are tethered to things that are unhealthy for us, that can be dangerous. And so one of the questions that maybe we have to ask is that we think about this very practical idea of what am I tethered to? What am I tied to? How do we know the difference? How do we know the difference between the things that lift our spirit and the things that cause fear and maybe could be dangerous? And so this week, as is often the case, I circled back to what is my favorite parable of Jesus. I've talked about this story a few times. It's one of those parables that honestly I probably read or think about part of this story at least once a week, if not more often. It's a parable that's actually found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it was a story that Jesus wanted very clearly to be articulated both to His followers of the day, but also to His followers today. Because I started thinking about it. I've never read this passage through the context of what it indicates as far as the spiritual battle that many of us are facing. So I tried to put that lens on it this week, and I think that there's some really practical things. So I want to read it with you together, and then I just have a few thoughts to share on this battle amidst my tethers. And so the version I want to talk about the is in Matthew chapter 13. And so if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to follow along with, or smartphone app, you can kind of follow along with that. If not, the words will be on the screen. And I would really encourage you, you know, today if you have some thoughts, you can take some notes. There's a place in your weekly that just is a place to write down your thoughts and your notes. And I've been told that I talk a little fast. So maybe I'm going to try to be a little more intentional about letting a few things settle in, that because I think that there's some power in what we're going to hear today. Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus begins in verse 1. It says, "The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Large crowds gathered around Him, so large that He got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then He told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it produced a crop 130, 60 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Now let's fast forward a little bit where Jesus begins to explain the passage to His disciples. Listen, verse 18, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path.
The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, it lasts only a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And the seed that falls among the thorns, listen specifically to verse 22 here. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and they make it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown.
This is just, there's so much I could, in fact, in times past, I've actually taught an entire series. I think I could teach for a year on all of the things that I just love about this story. And every single time I read it, I find something new. And I found four or five things that I'd just like to kind of point out to you as it relates to this idea of battle lines and the spiritual battle we face with our tethers. And the first is this. You know, the Holy Spirit, which is God's voice, His presence, His work, His activity in our life, the Holy Spirit is actually sowing and scattering seeds all the time. The Holy Spirit is actually scattering seeds all the time. In the passage, in the parable, it doesn't really make sense that the farmer would seemingly be as wasteful as he is. The farmer should be practical. I mean, seed is not free. And yet, here he is. He's just sowing seed. He's just scattering seed everywhere, hoping that something will take root. It seems very non-discerning, right? And yet, one of the transferable here for us is this reminder. See, in the story, the farmer is God. The farmer is the Holy Spirit. And it was this great reminder that the Holy Spirit is active in tossing and scattering and trying to pour something into our life. In fact, I would say the Holy Spirit, God's presence, His voice, His activity in our life is so interested in activating and in changing and in reshaping and in speaking into and reforming every area of our life. He is obsessed with seed sowing. The Holy Spirit is obsessed with seed sowing, of sowing any little activity or any little word or any little thing that will take us from here to there, that will help us move in our relationship with God. In fact, if you go back to the original story of the Bible, the story of Adam and Eve, even the story of creation that precedes it, understand. And I heard somebody talking about this week. It was so fascinating. The story of creation, whatever you believe in terms of the timeline of it, that's debatable. What I would say is the most important thing about the story of creation is that it's a seed sowing story. Because if you think about the way our world was created by God, I believe, to perpetuate itself. And so it wasn't that God was going to have to generationally say, okay, now I'm going to start something new. No, there's this notion that we are infused with this ability to sow into the next generation. And plants do it, and animals do it, and humans do it. And we have this notion that we are wired to be a seed scattering entity. Now, before you read too much into that, just leave it what it is, okay? Now, why is that? I believe the reason that is because if you look back in Genesis chapter 1, one of the very first things that we read that God says when He creates humanity is He says, let us create them in our own image. Now, what does He mean by that? Does it mean physiologically? Maybe. What it may mean, what I believe it means even more so, is that the reason we are wired and the reason why plants are wired and the reason why animals are wired to regenerate, to scatter seed, is because that is the nature of God. God is a God who is constantly scattering things, who is pouring seed into our life, because every little place that a seed might take root and grow is a place that He can grow something new into us. The Holy Spirit is active in all times and all places. One of the reasons why we read in the Old Testament that God began by working with priests. But the challenge of priests was that a priest, no matter how great he was, could only be at one place at one time. And even when Jesus comes into the world, Jesus is the Son of God. He is sent for a divine and unique and perfect purpose. But Jesus can only be at one place at one time. And so Jesus actually says to His disciples in the book of John, hey, one of the best things that's ever going to happen to you is that when I'm gone, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Because the great thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is scattering seed all the time, and He can be all places at all times. There is potential for the seed anywhere it can get tethered. Now here's the second part. When a word from the Spirit is untethered,
It goes nowhere, or it drifts away. Verse 21 and 22 basically says, hey, some seed fell on the path. And basically, when it fell on the path, the birds came and ate it, and nothing happened. Some seed actually went into the ground, but it went into shallow ground. It didn't take. When a seed is untethered, when a word from the Spirit just kind of drifts, it goes nowhere or it drifts away. And this is one of the reasons why we talk a lot about soap here at Catalyst, because we believe soap is so important, and I'm going to explain it a little bit, not just about the quantity of Scripture that we read, not just about the quantity of the seed, as much as the intention to tether the Word from the Spirit. And so one of the things that we talk about, when we talk about soap, I mention it periodically. Soap is just a way that we read the Bible together. There's a guide, and they're back at the little connection point there, and it gives you a chapter a day. And the instructions on how it works is, you know, basically you grab a notebook or you grab a highlighter or, you know, you can write in your Bible. That's not, I don't know if anybody ever told you that. You actually can write in the Bible. It's, you know, God won't strike you dead if you write in that. And so this sense of you take the passage, it's one chapter a day. And the great thing about soap is there's some power in all of us reading the same thing together. So you read the chapter. And really the calling of soap is find one or two verses that just stick out to you. One or two verses that stick out to you. So, you know, most of us aren't going to remember 30 verses. We're not going to remember 5 verses any more than you're going to remember 30 minutes or 5 minutes of anything I say. But this idea that something gets tethered in there. So one or two verses. So we observe all of it, but we observe these one or two passages. And then we begin to ask God to speak some level of application of that. So soap, Scripture, O, observation, A, application. There's this idea that God wants it to be more than just something I hear, but something that he wants to begin to tether into my spirit, to tie into my spirit, so my life begins to adapt and change. And then the fourth part, the P part, is prayer. And prayer is just an affirmation of God, as I observe what you're speaking to me, I want to apply what you're speaking to me, but I don't want it to just be in my own power. I need the power of the Holy Spirit who has began the work of kind of sowing this seed into my heart to bring it to fulfillment, to bring it up out of the ground and to bring it to life. One of the most important and one of the most encouraging things that I hear from people periodically is when you say things to me like, you know what, one thing that stuck out about what you said is, and then whatever it is. One thing that stuck out, and the reason why I appreciate that so much is not because I'm looking for compliments, although I'll take them anytime you give them, but the second part really is the greater part, and it's this. One thing that stuck out means that it's not just sticking out, it's sticking in. And that God is beginning to tether something into our hearts in this powerful, profound way. One of the verses we mentioned in the very beginning of this series, Ephesians 6:14, was this idea that says that we should stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. The belt of truth is this word of God that is speaking and holding everything up and holding everything together. And so, again, I would just challenge you. Soap is one of those great ways that we can begin to tether the Word of God into our hearts. And the Spirit has this active part in that because the Spirit is the one who is guiding what are the one or two verses that are going to stick? What are the one or two things that are going to just resonate with me in my day? And I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how often it is that I will begin to read a word from just a chapter in that soap guide and feel like, man, this is so much the word that God spoke to me today. So I would encourage you, just try it for 7 days. If you need a 7-day challenge, if you need a practical application, let's take a 7-day soap challenge. And there's plenty back there in the back you can take those with, and I don't have a count on them, so I'm not going to know how many are gone. But I truly believe that this verse is so true. When a word from the Spirit is untethered, it goes nowhere. But when a word from the Spirit begins to get tethered into our hearts and into our life, change can happen. And when the battle comes, no tethering means the power of the Word and the work of the Spirit can drift. But here's the second part, and it's the part that's found in verse 22. I wrote this down, and maybe this will be helpful. It's a question. Maybe it's a question the Holy Spirit was asking me. How many things can I be tethered to at one time? How many things can I be tethered to at one time? Verse 22, and this is the verse, honestly, if you want to know the verse that I think about a lot, this is the verse. I hear this verse in my head all the time, where it says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the words, making it unfruitful. sometimes the challenge is, I think for me, the Spirit is always trying to sow new seed in my life, and I've just got too many other ties on the ground already.
I just got too many other things. I got too many things embedded in my life and in my mind and in my heart, and my mind is going there all, you know, a million miles an hour. And so some of us, and I would say myself at the beginning of the list, we don't have room for any more of the Spirit because we've already got ourselves tied to so many other things. I begin to start processing this idea of what this verse is actually talking about. And when he talks about the worries of this life, I mean, I think a good modern translation for that would be just distractions. The worries of this life, you can kind of exchange that for the distractions of this life. Some things, and they may be good things, but they may not be great things that we're already tethered to. And then, this was the word that stuck in my head, and I want to give you a kind of an object lesson, a visual to think about today. Because when he says the deceitfulness of wealth, you know what he's connecting there? A lure. In fact, there's other translations that actually use a word similar to this idea of a lure. Last Saturday night, not yesterday, but a week ago yesterday, we were eating dinner, and Camden, my 8-year-old, says, "Can we go to Cabela's?" Now, I have no idea why. Talk about, you know, random thoughts. I have no idea why she wanted to go to Cabela's, but she wanted to go to Cabela's. Well, we were at McAllister's, and so, you know, you can almost see Cabela's from there. And so we're like, you know what? Let's go to Cabela's. So we go into Cabela's. Maybe it's because, you know, her grandfather is an avid hunter. And, I mean, that guy, you know, has hunted and fished basically all over the world. And so we walk in there. It's the second time I've ever been in there. And Karis, our little 18-month-old, she was going crazy because the animals are exciting and the fish and all those kind of things. But do you know what caught my attention? Besides the fact that they have a lot of guns and they have a lot of, you know, fishing equipment and they have a lot of boats. And we walked out in the boats and, you know, I'd love to have one of those boats maybe at some point in my life, but actually it's the little trucksters. I like those little gators. Those are awesome. Sorry, I'm drifting. The thing that caught my attention most was in the fishing area. There's a lot of lures in the fishing area. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you're more of a fisher person than I am, but I want to be gender inclusive here. I'm a fisherman or fisher. I don't want to take that away from you, ladies, if you love the fish. But here's the thing. I'm not a fisher person. And so here's what I recognize. There's a lot of lures in there. Now, I actually had a thought today that I thought about as a nice little visual object lesson. I thought, you know what? I should just go and I should just buy a bucket load of lures. And I should bring those in, and I should give one to every single person who walks in the door today, just as this visual reminder of how, you know, of this takeaway. And then I realized something. There's like 10 hooks in most of those lures. And so we all be bleeding out on the floor trying to get out of here, and that's not the example that I really wanted. But as I begin to think about fishing, I begin to think about this. When it comes down to it, no matter what you wear, no matter what kind of boat you're in, no matter what kind of rod and reel you have, do you know what fishing basically comes down to? Lure and string. Lure and string. And here's what I began to think about. The thing about a lure is that while when the lure is outside of the fish, it has no control over the fish. Now, I don't mean to oversimplify this, but that makes sense. When the lure is outside of the fish, it has very little to no control over the fish. However, because of said 10 hooks, once the lure is inside the fish, it has a lot of control over the fish. In fact, that string, you know, you get the lure that the fish kind of ingests, but that string acts as a tether to the pole with the lure on the other end. Now, here's the reason why I have no idea, except for maybe it was completely supernatural and Jesus wanted us to go to Cabela, so I'd figure this out. But here's the thing. Once that lure is ingested, the tether, the string, the fishing line, is trying to control the fish. And that fish either has to get off that tether, or it's possible that that fish will come to a surprising and unexpected end. Now again, that oversimplifies fishing quite a bit. If you're not a fisherman like me, maybe you didn't know that. If you are a fisherman, you're like, hey, idiot, move on. My point of what I'm trying to say here is this. Verse 22. The deceitfulness of wealth, the lure of tethers that we think
Man, if we could just have that, or if we just had that, or maybe it's something that has been a part of our life for a long time, and we don't even realize how much control and how much power it holds over us. And yet, all of what we're tethered to, everything that you're connected to in your life right now, every relationship, every commitment, every contract, everything that we are tethered to, both good and bad, we bid on by choice someplace in the past. Let me say that again. Everything we're tethered to, almost, maybe there are probably a few exceptions, but for the most part, almost everything we're tethered to right now, either good or bad, was a lure we bid on at some point in the past. And so here, maybe is a potential question that can kind of go along with this. How many times a week do I make the statement, man, I would love to do this, but I can't because of this? And maybe it's a time thing. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a generosity thing. Maybe it's a relational thing. I would love to do this, but I can't because I am tied to this. Some of us, the truth is, we don't have time for a fresh word from God or a fresh prompting from the Holy Spirit because our schedule is so tempted and tethered by lures from the past that we couldn't possibly process another attachment. We know something is missing, but where would we even fit it? Some of us are so available, and we are so joined to the conversation. I'm not saying we shouldn't come find out how you'd be a part of the conversation social media-wise at Catalyst, but we are so joined to the conversation that we don't have space for even one more fresh seed from the Spirit. Oh, the other day, I felt this kind of prompting from the Lord that maybe one of the tethers that I'm kind of wrestling with is that I'm a tech guy, and I like tech things, and I like, you know, gadgets and stuff like that. But I started to think, you know, what if I try to just ratchet my life back to where everything that I do, could I go back to just like pen and paper for a while? Could I go away from a computer? Could I go away from an iPad? Could I go away from, you know, I got to have a phone because people want to talk to me and I need to, you know, be able to get in touch with my wife, I guess. But could I step back from the technology tether? And then Comcast was broken down, like our Comcast was out for a day or two here. And you would have thought that I was going crazy because I'm like, hey. And then they came and explained to me why, and I'm like, that's the stupid. I mean, they said they had noise in our line, but then they got here and there was no noise in the line. And I'm like, what are you people doing? They had shut us off. And they intentionally shut us off for a couple of days, and I was ready to have strong words with the guy in the van. And it wasn't his fault. He was just doing his job. And so I'm thinking about all of this, and then I'm thinking, wait a minute. Man, is that a tether that I really can't release myself from? Because when I have one opportunity to have a small window of experience of that, and I'm going crazy? Now, again, that's not a judgment about technology. It's just one of those things. Is the challenge of an electronics-free life, man, that's a, not even talking about television or whatever, am I so tethered to that? That there's not space in my life for a fresh word from God. Am I so tethered to past financial decisions that I'm unable to take a new opportunity from God in the present? And that's not even a statement about giving. I think that can be a statement about, you know, I wonder for some of us, if we're sitting in this room right now and just in a very practical, real sense, if we were to just say, you know what, if I could go down a different career path, I hate my job. I'd much rather, you know, I would love to do this, but I am so tied to this. I wonder for some of us if it's like, man, we are so tethered to an existence. We are so tethered to a lifestyle that if we wanted and God even ordained a change in our career path, would we even be willing to take the risk because of so many things that we're tied to? Or maybe it's a decision to downsize. That maybe, man, we would love to do this, but we've got so much of this and these tethers that hold power over us. Maybe it's even more practical things like maybe you want to visit the place of your dreams. Maybe there's a dream place that God has wanted, you know, you put this dream in your heart and it's like, I would love to do that, but I'm so tethered to this. Now again, not all tethers are bad. What I'm saying is, are the tethers that we have, are they restricting the work of the Spirit to add something new into our life? Am I tethered to a calendar that is constantly luring me away from my heart? That's a killer question right there. Am I tethered to a calendar that is constantly luring me away from my heart? Or I would say, am I tethered to an invoice? Am I tethered to a lifestyle? Am I tethered to a career? Am I tethered to a bad relationship? Am I tethered to a promise to my kids that is constantly luring me away from my heart? I want to spend, and I believe that the Holy Spirit's work in my heart is a work that actually is challenging me to strengthen what I would call the tethers of my life that are covenant relationships. Covenant relationships. Now, let me explain what that is, and I just kind of share it from my perspective. I have four primary covenant relationships in my life. Four. I have my relationship with Christ, I have my relationship with my wife, I have my relationship with Camden, my daughter who's 8, and I have my relationship with Karis. Those are the four primary covenant relationships of my life. Now, there are others. There are other family relationships, there are other friendship relationships. And what I mean by a covenant relationship is basically it's an unending commitment. It's a death to us part kind of commitment. That's a covenant relationship. And so for all of us, you know, we may think that there's a lot of those. I would argue that there's probably not as many as we want to think, but the reality is that all of us, I hope, have some covenant relationships in our life. I have those four primary and then a few others. Now, here's the other question. See, there's a battle often between the covenant versus the current. The covenant versus the current. And what I would say is those are just kind of other things that I'm tied to, other things that I've made commitments to or I'm tethered to, and those can sometimes align well with my covenant relationships, but sometimes they can actually be pulling against. And if the challenge for me is, am I tethered to a calendar or am I tethered to anything that is constantly luring me away from my heart? See, my heart is in the covenant relationships. That's where my heart is. And so my question, I began to kind of wrestle through this whole idea of, how do I know? How do I know? How do I know that what I'm giving my life to, that the tethers I'm tying my heart into constantly, that I'm ratcheting those tighter, ever tighter. How do I know that the other stuff is not kind of working against that? Because see, I think that a lot of the current stuff, they're just lures. They're just lures. As Jesus talked about, they are the deceitfulness. They're the things that we think will make us feel fulfilled and feel enriched and feel excited and feel like that the grass truly is greener someplace else. And yet they're lures. Because remember, the thing about a lure is it has a hook in it. And once it's inside of us, it gets that much more difficult to be released from it. Let me give you a few last thoughts here. I began to think about, how do I just kind of write this out? One of the things I had talked about last week, if you weren't with us, is we talked about this idea of how do we process pain in our life and the work that God wants to do through that. And one of the things that the author of the book I was referencing said is, write a timeline of your life and then write the 5 most painful experiences you've ever had and then think through, how do those still hold power over me? How are those still injuring me? How do I need to find healing from those? And so I began to kind of think about a very practical example of this for this week as well. And so what I would challenge you to do is I want you to go home and write down the covenant ties in your life. Just write them down. And then I want you to start thinking about, okay, and then what are the other things that I'm tethered to? And they're not all bad. I mean, you're probably tethered to your job, and your sub account of that is you're tethered to a paycheck that comes from a job. And, we're tethered to our sports teams, and we're tethered to our hobbies, and we're tethered to, our bills, and we're tethered to, all these kind of things. And so just kind of write them on two lists, okay? So covenant relationships and your tethers. Again, we're not saying that everything on the tethers list, the current list, is bad. Just write it down. And then I would just challenge us to begin asking ourselves these questions. Are the things that are on this list, are they adding life to the things that are on this list? Are they adding a lift to the things that are on this list? Or have they become a lure, a deceitfulness,
that now is a tether that rather than giving our spirit lift, is actually holding us back. Are they fueling this covenant? And Jesus talked about the idea that the deceitfulness, that the lure of things maybe that we were already tied to, he uses this interesting word. He calls them thorns. He calls them thorns. So what are the thorns that are choking out life for me? What has to be trimmed? You know, I have a rose bush, and the rose bush was dead. I thought it was dead, and then it felt like it was like resurrection. It just came out of nowhere, and it's growing again. And now it's growing like crazy, and I don't want to cut it because I'm afraid I'll kill it again by trimming it. But the thing about a rose bush is, if you want roses, you have to trim it. You have to prune the rose bush. And the only way to do that is you're going to have to reach in and grab some thorns and get rid of them. You're going to have to get rid of some thorns. And so my current tethers, are they fueling my covenant relationships? Where are the thorns that are choking things out? What needs to be trimmed? And I'll be honest, it's going to probably be a little painful. If we really want to do the hard work of kind of pruning and digging up hard soil, it's going to be a little painful. But the growth on the other side is amazing. So maybe some practical questions. What is my time tethered to? What is my time tied to? What is my money tied to? What's my energy? What's my attention tied to? And then one last thought is, did you notice, and I didn't see this until the very beginning, or until the end of the kind of my study, that when the farmer scatters seeds, they all come up pretty quick. See, there is this sense sometimes that when the Holy Spirit is really working, it's going to be something we're going to have to just sit on for a while and try to figure out and unpack. But I believe that the Holy Spirit really wants to activate things in us sooner rather than later. The seed that the farmer scattered, man, it was coming up quick. It actually was coming up quick even in bad locations. The Holy Spirit wants to activate quickly in the right soil, with the right space. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to begin to activate some cool things in our life if we're willing to take the risk of untethering some things that are not fueling these covenant relationships, if we're willing to actually do the hard work of pruning out some of the thorns, I believe that the Holy Spirit will activate some amazing things quickly. And so today, as we kind of wrap up, I hope that this is kind of leaving you in a place of some real practical, again, this is a condemnation-free zone. It's a judgment-free zone. But I believe for a lot of us, the biggest hindrance to a new work of God in our life are some tethers we just need to unhook. Some of them are bad. Some of them are not great. Some of them are okay, but they're really not fueling the covenant relationships in our life with God and with the people that we are in a till death do us part kind of relationship with. And so my challenge for us today is this. The enemy will try to battle you because he's the one that kind of put the hooks in, you know, that's the lure. The enemy's going to battle you and say, you know what, it's too much work. You don't need to, it's okay. Just kind of maintain where you are. You know, this is a season. Just you know, live through the season. And yes, and that does happen sometimes. But I would argue that if the Holy Spirit is beginning to activate some things that need to be released in our life, even if they're good so that something great can happen, I believe that as we'll take the step to do that, then just like the seed that the Holy Spirit scatters freely in all kinds of areas of our life, he'll begin to activate something new quickly as an affirmation of his grace and truth and of his willingness to just bring new life into places where we need it. Jesus, I thank you that every single time I read this story, I'm just moved by your willingness to speak a new word into me. And this whole idea of the lure of things, the deceitfulness of tethers. And so today, again, not in a spirit of guilt, but in just a spirit of freedom, I pray that you would begin to activate some new things in our heart. And if there is no space in our heart right now for what you're prompting in us in a very clear and practical way, I pray that you'd help us to begin to find release, to begin to find freedom so that the tethers of our heart would be things that give our spirit a lift towards you and to experience you in new ways, and not to hold us back in a way that the enemy would like to do. In Jesus' name.